Good evening, everybody. Tonight, Monday night again, 9 p.m., Shaare Tzion. I talk to all of you in tape land who listen to these free tapes and love them. We need sponsors. They don't come out for nothing. They're just given out for nothing. So we could use some sponsors out there. The number is 375-1023. 375-1023. In area 718, you ask for Rico, he'll be happy to accommodate you. We're in the middle of our lessons in Bereshit, having to do with the patriarchs, the matriarchs, and all the surrounding characters who are supposed to teach us how to live. And that's going to be our focus over the next few weeks, I think. I don't know. I had a whole plan for a different class tonight, which I'm not giving. When Avraham Avinu was circumcised, how old was he? 99. At 99 years old, he chose to sit in the hot desert, in the sun at midday, rather than rest and recuperate from his surgery. On the third post-operative day, which they tell you is the most painful, Hashem, it says in Rashi, Hotzi, he got it from the Midrash, Hamam in Atika. He took the sun out of its casing, as if you have a sheath for a sword. He took the sun out of that covering that protects us from the actual heat of the sun. To heat up the desert more than the normal sweltering temperatures. Why? In order to prevent any passerby from coming by the tent of Avraham. Because he didn't want anybody to disturb this rest and recovery period that Avraham was undergoing. But the Gemara, Baba Metziah, Art Scroll fans, 86b, says, Lefi shera'ahu mitzta'eh shelo hayu orchim. But since Hashem saw that the reaction of Avraham was not as intended, the reaction of Avraham was mitzta'er. Those of you expert in Lashon HaKodesh mean mitzta'er means he was very troubled. He was almost depressed. Why? Shelo ayu olchim ba'im. Because nobody was coming to visit. So what did Hashem do? Hevi malachim ala b'dmut anashim. He brought angels in the form of human beings to be the guests. And we start the parasha called the Chesed of Avraham. The kindness of Avraham. Which is not like the kindness or the Chesed of anybody before or after. The Chesed of Avraham is unique throughout human history. He perfected himself as a true, and I use this word not lightly and not imprecisely, giver. He set the example, he put up what they call the paradigm. You like that word? I learned that word, paradigm. It means he's the model. He's the model of what it means to be a perfect Baal Chesed. Now the Chesed of Abraham was special only because, like I said, he was a true giver. Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler, I pulled it out. I happen to have this sefer all underlined and handy. Years of reading it, studying it. English is not bad, by the way. I have trouble learning Sefrei Kodesh in English. I just don't get it. You know, it doesn't go in. It doesn't compute. But the translation of this particular sefer, Mechtam Eliyahu, which came out under Strive for Truth, is pretty good because one of the rabbis who put this collection together, the words of their rabbi, Rabbi Dessler, Alav Shalom, did the translation, and he was excellent at his job. He says, there's a difference between Chesed and Rahmanut. Chesed is kindness, Rahmanut is mercy. What's the difference, he says? He says, People confuse them. People confuse them how? I see somebody suffering, and I give them something, and it alleviates or even removes their suffering. So I'm a really good guy, and I say, I did a chesed. But it's a misnomer. You did an act of rachmanut, you had mercy. An act of mercy usually involves something selfish. What's the selfishness? I can't stand to see people suffer. So since I can't watch it, I take care of them. It invokes my mercy. I give them what they need. They smile. Chalas, I'm okay now. That's rachmanut. But chesed is to give out of a desire to give, whether they need it or not. I could do a chesed with a rich man who's doing fine. And I could do something for him that's a kindness, even though he doesn't need me to do it for him. And even though he looks pretty good without me, I'm just doing a little extra, it's still a chesed. So a chesed is not to remove from him something. It's not to save myself from the misery of watching him. It's to do something exclusively for the other person. So that's the difference. Rachmanut has in it a tinge of selfishness. I give, but I'm also taking. I'm alleviating something that's bothering me. I can't watch. It bothers me. I can't enjoy life if I see somebody else hungry. So I give them to eat, and then I can enjoy my meal. That's rachmanut. Mihu baal chesed, says Rav Dessler, zechet tzadik levracha, zeh harodef chesed, the one who chases chesed, v'hashoef lechesed b'chol ma'oto, and he desires, he longs for, shoef is a great word, he longs for chesed with all his being. V'en lo kol magia acher ele etzem ha-chesed, and he has no other desire for anything except chesed. He doesn't need an external stimulus. I don't need a suffering human being to do chesed, if I'm a baal chesed. I don't need something outside me to prompt me to do chesed. Ki ha-chesed mimale et kol pnimiyoto. This person is full of chesed all within himself, or herself. V'noveya mimenu tamid. And it comes outpouring from this person all the time. Achiroe, look at this. Roe bechol chayav. He sees in his life, or she sees in her life, everything, every confrontation, every situation is rak hizdamnut lechesed. It's another opportunity to do chesed. That's a baal chesed. I could be sitting with a multi-millionaire who doesn't need me for anything, and he doesn't even need me to bring him a glass of water. But I bring him a glass of water anyhow. That's a chesed. Because I want to give it to him. Not because he needs it. And this is very, very crucial to understand. That chesed means I want to give. It's ahavat. It's a love for what Rabbi Dessler calls etzem anitina, the essence of giving. And that's why Avraham Avinu was mitzta'er. He was mitzta'er. He was troubled because Hashem took the sun out and made it so hot that he had nobody to take care of. Nobody to give to. So now we've just categorized the world into only two kinds of people. There's givers and there's takers. Now some people, when they give, are actually taking. And some people, when they take, they're actually giving. So the untrained eyes that some of you came in here with, some of you are expert in the subject already, I'm sure. I'm just here for review. might see all acts where it passes from me to you as giving, and from you to me as me taking, but that's not always true. It's simply a matter of whether it's self-centered, this transfer between people is self-centered or other-centered. Even in trade, even in business, a person can be a giver. And now anybody in business tell me that's impossible. So let me give you an example. It says, Vayitalech Hanoch et Ha'elokim. Anybody remember that? It's a long time ago. It's already 3 weeks since we read that parasha. This is like something obscure in Devarei HaYamim, right? This is Vayitalech Hanoch. Hanoch went with God. What does the Midrash say about this? Fantastic. I love this Midrash. Hanoch, anybody know what he did for a living? Anybody know what Hanoch did for a living? Who was he? He was a shoemaker. Robin has a pair of his shoes in her bag. I guarantee it. If she doesn't have a pair, she has at least one. She may not have room for a pair. In her gym bag, she has two. Hanoch tofeh min alayim haya. He was a man who sewed shoes. Val kol tefirah tefirah. For every stitch that he sewed, haya miyached yichudim nekono. You know what that means? When we say prayers and we do mitzvah, if you look in the Sidurim, it says, L'shem yichud kutsha b'rich u'shchinteh. It's for the sake of the name of God and His Shekhinah. I'm shaking, I'm nervous, I'm fearful, I'm doing this with all the kavanah, whatever the mitzvah requires to do properly. And people read these paragraphs all the time before they do a mitzvah. It's called L'shem Yichud. He did L'shem Yichud on every stitch of the shoe, he said. Rabbi Yisrael Salant explains what it means. It doesn't mean that when he did every stitch, he was saying the Shem Yichud. I was only joking. What he was doing, Asher hu sam alibo machshavto bechol tefiyah tefiyah ki yetova v'chazaka. He wanted the shoe to be the best shoe a man could make. And the person who would then wear them would get great use, comfort. These are what they call them, Dr. Martens or Mephisto. Mephisto is a good price. $400, $500 for a shoe, right? Mephisto. They're the comfort shoes. They're ugly as sin, but they're very, very comfortable. How did Hanoch be attached to Elohim, like it says? He was involved in doing things that were beneficial to somebody else. Now, his business was making shoes, but his concern was not his profit. His concern was that the user of the shoe, his product, that the other person should be satisfied. That's a person who in business is taking the money, making a profit, but he's a giver. Second example is the Chafetz Chaim, a little more current. Bring you up to 100 years ago. Chafetz Chaim, when he was younger, had a store, a very famous store. The store that closed, what were the hours on the door? Open after Shachrit, closing time, as soon as I have enough to live today. He stayed open only till he earned enough to live for that day. Now, if it rains tomorrow, he's in retail, he doesn't care. He doesn't save for a rainy day. Chafetz Chaim only opened long enough. I know people have a business like that. But he didn't want to support himself with his Torah. So he became a retailer. God bless the retailers. If you could be like the Chafetz Chaim, God bless you. He sold the best merchandise. And he gave full measure in favor of the customers. And of course his business was good. Because buyers made a point to shop in his store. So he said to himself, if everyone shops in my store, because I'm the Chafetz Chaim, what's going to happen to the other grocery stores? They're not going to do any business. So what did he do? He opened the store only for the amount of time you know, an hour or two until he made enough to live that day. And that was it. Then he would close to give others a chance to do business. Like if somebody came around at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, knocked on the chavez's store door, it's locked. So he went next door and he bought from the other guy. Or up the street or around the corner. What happened? The customers made sure to come at the hours he was open. Right? If that's when he's there, that's when I'm going. So you know what he did? Closed the business. Because he wasn't in it for himself. He needed it to live, but he was in it for others. He was concerned about others. And these are ideals we should strive to achieve. Rabbi Dessler points out that everybody has this koach of netina, this power to give. The stingiest, most rotten person you could think of. The selfish, gimme, gimme person has koach hanitina in them. They have it. It may be a little spark underneath piles of dirt, almost extinguished, but it's there. A person cannot be totally selfish. And a person cannot live isolated from society. You know, one of the worst punishments in the penal system is what? Solitary confinement. They always, you know, that's the threat, you know. One more act like that, you go to solitary. They're going to put them in a room, lock them up, can't talk to anybody. That's the worst part of confinement. And in fact, people usually want a child, a son, for different motivations. One motivation is, of course, to perpetuate themselves through their offspring. And it's also for a different reason. You know why some people, well, most people want to have children? It's because they want to have somebody to give to. That's a very good reason, isn't it? So they have an urge, someone they love, they need to give to. In fact, we see that children, I mean parents who can have children, very often adopt. And then there's the people who don't know how to channel their love. They adopt a dog or a monkey or a parakeet. And they just need somebody to feed. Heard about a lady passed away millions of dollars. She donated to a dog hospital. What zechut. Can you imagine her in Olam HaBa, all the for rest of eternity, she got all the kelps barking at her. Yeah, so you give to yeshiva, you learn with the people that you gave to. So I imagine if you give to a dog hospital, they're all up there barking and all of them are sick too, you know. Anyhow, all these examples point out that a human being has something and sometimes eat that called shoresh koach hanetina. You have the power to give. And now we got to start moving a little bit. You had your intro. I warmed up. I'm ready to go. So note takers, get out your high-speed pens. In fact, Hashem in His wisdom has made this force called netina, giving, universal and indestructible, so that men will marry and have children in order to perpetuate the human race. In perfecting ourselves, we have to uncover our hidden power of giving. If we succeed, we'll be able to perform the great mitzvah, Ahavta le'racha kamocha, in the proper way. And as Rabbi Akiva said, Zeh kelal gadol ba'Torah, that's major principle of the Torah. And it's the foundation of all mitzvot ben adam l'chaviru. And I'm not going to have time tonight to really go into one of the principles. I think I once made a separate tape on this, proving it. But this is something that most people don't understand. Most people think... They think, they're under the misconception, unless they heard a tape or they came to my class before, that if I love somebody, I give to them. Don't you think that? Well, all the movies and television, they tell you that. If you love somebody, you give to them. So the love goes from the giver to the receiver. Correct? Well, Rabbi Dessler says, you don't give the ones you love. You develop love to the ones you give to. By giving to a child, there's a very famous story he has in a different section of his Sefer. There's five volumes to this already. But one of the things he brings up was a couple that was separated during World War II. And the father ended up escaping with the child, who was an infant at the time. And the mother was separated. They never knew if she was alive or dead throughout the entire war. And the father, of course, was forced to do all the things a mother does for an infant. Change it, burp it, stay up at night with it. After a while, got a little older, toddler. Right? Had to work around it. When the war ended, he still had to be the mother with the homework and the school and the cooking and the picking up and the dropping off. In spite of the fact that he had to work around being the mother to this child. Well, they found the mother eventually and reunited the family. And they found that although the mother is usually the one in the family with that gentle, don't hit him, please, you have to understand, the father's losing the temper, the feelings that and the emotions and the behavior, the conduct you usually see in a mother was coming from the father because he was the one giving the child all the time. And his love for the child developed because he gave so much. And Rabbi Dessler explains it in a deep way. If I give anyone a lot, that comes from me. I start to see pieces of me in that person. And I love myself. Right? Some of us can't live with ourselves, but most of us, whether we admit it or not, we like ourselves. It's all the other people who have problems. So, a person who gives enough to somebody starts to see themselves in that person, and the love goes in the direction from the giver, develops the love. Avraham Avinu loved Hashem. And he did all that he could to discover his ways. And once he understood, he did his best to emulate Hashem. And he deduced. We know he deduced that the sun was created by God and the rivers and that and all that. But he also discovered that Hashem was the ultimate giver. In fact, Hashem created the universe and all that's in it. And the malachim and the shedim and the oceans and the rivers and the plants and the trees and the animals and dogs and the people. Why? Because Hashem is such a Baal Chesed. He has so much Chesed in him. Him or her. In Hashem has Chesed. Without gender, that chesed is a desire to give. He had nothing to give to. So he created everything else to depend on him so he can give to them. So if anybody ever asks you in a trivia game, what's the greatest act of chesed ever? It's Ma'aseh Bereshit, creating everything. The act of creation was the greatest act of chesed because that gave Hashem all the people, things, animals, plants that he gives to constantly. So Abraham, who wanted to be halachta bidrachav, be like Hashem, emulate, ma'hum rachum, you be rachum, ma'hum chanun, you be chanun. Just like we learned over and over, we have to try and emulate God. I want to emulate God. What do I have to do? I have to learn to be a true giver. A true Baal Chesed. In fact, halachically it says, anus patur. If someone is ill during the week of Sukkot, to where sleeping outside would be harmful to their health, they sleep in the house. Are they a bad guy? No, they're anus patur. Someone who is beyond, circumstances beyond that can prevent them from doing mitzvah, is patur from that mitzvah. So when it says in the Rashid I read you in the beginning, in the Midrash, that Avraham Rahina was mitzta'er, he was troubled and depressed that he didn't have any guests. Why? He was sick. He was high. He had nobody to give to. If there's no guests, are you patur from giving guests? Yeah. And if you're sick, do you have to go out and feed guests? No. So he's patur. What's he mitzta'er for? What is he troubled about? It's not like he has a mitzvah to do. He can't do it. He has no mitzvah to do. It's one way to look at it. His sa'ar was, I have such a desire to do it, that it's the desire to do it not for the sake of a mitzvah, because I'm a giver and I have nobody to give to. separate from the mitzvah. I'm missing something if I can't give to somebody. It's like a mother when the children don't want to eat dinner. But I cooked for you. I made your favorite so-and-so. Mom, I'm busy. I got to go. My friends. But you don't understand. I made it for you. When you don't eat it, you kill her. Gobble a few bites. Do me a favor. Do a chesed. By eating, you're giving her. Now you see how a taker can give. You know, how do you give when you're taking? There's a very famous Gemara. You know, how does Kiddushim work? Let's turn to the ladies section. How does Kiddushim work? We learn it, right? And then we pray for it. He gives her something of value, more than a pruta, and he tells her, Hareat Nikudeshitli, tells her, here you are, behold, you are sanctified unto me. You know that famous line. And when she accepts it, Kinyan is made, and she becomes Mikudeshet. Everyone in the audience says, Mikudeshet. She's Mikudeshet. Wow. Now she's exclusively his. The Kinyan is made. He gives us something of value. So the Gemara asks, what if she gives him something and says, Hare, I'm Mikudeshet to you? So, of course, it wouldn't work because he has to give her something. But then the Gemara brings a famous exception. If he is somebody very important, or very well known, or very mechubad, as we say, and he accepts whatever she gives him, she's mikudeshet. She becomes his wife. You know why? The fact that he's taking it feels so good to her. It's such an honor to her that this important person is accepting my penny. It's like he's giving her. And she becomes married. Everybody got nervous. I started talking about marriage. I can't tell you the feet the way they're shaking around here. It's unbelievable. That's how giving is, taking is giving also. You know, it says in the parasha that when they came, where did he seat them down? Outside under a tree. Now, would any person from our Safed community leave a person outside on the porch? You bring them in. Make them comfortable. Make them feel at home. Not like you got to sit in the garden. What was Abraham doing? Putting them in? Was he? He didn't want to let these dirty Arabs in his house? Maybe that's what you're thinking? Wrong. When they told him, no, we don't want to stay, and he said, please stay, don't pass, I want to give you something, he started to think, maybe they don't want to stay because they don't have time. If they don't have time and I bring them in, maybe they don't want to come in because they're thinking, once we come in, you know, first the salad, then the soup, then the hors d'oeuvres, then the main course, then the dessert, then Birkat HaMazon, then Kosher Beracha, maybe we don't want to stay so long. Maybe that's not them. Maybe they have business to do. So you know what I'll do? I'll put them down under the tree and they'll feel over here. If they want to come and go as they please, it's not so formal. So why did he put them under the tree? To give them. To give them the option of staying or leaving. He's giving them, but he's not taking anything for himself. He doesn't want for himself. He wants them to feel comfortable. Some people don't even know how to visit somebody without taking. They'll go to a hospital to do Bikur Cholim. And the person's sleeping. And I've seen this. Person's sleeping. Sitting there, person sleeping. And somehow this person is going to make sure this person in the bed wakes up before I leave. Because I didn't come all this way to do Bikur Cholim for them not to know that I came here. So I don't care how sick this person is, he better wake up and see me here. Because I want to take the satisfaction of them knowing that I was here. It's amazing. But from the smiles on your faces, I see you understand me. It happens. We're doing such a pure chesed, going to a hospital to visit. But if he doesn't know, what good is it to me? And if it's not good to me, I don't want to do it. You get the mitzvah, but you didn't give. You took. You took the satisfaction of being the one who came.
There was an ulterior motive.
Yes, ulterior motive. Very well put. See, if we don't invite people from Borough Park here, I'll never learn the lingo.
It's not good for the person either, if they don't understand. The person that's sick doesn't know
you. Wait. I understand what you're saying. But what I'm saying is, if I happen to come when the person's sleeping, then probably the person should be sleeping. That's what tells me, man. But I don't want them to be sleeping. You know why? Because I'm here. How could you sleep when I'm here? Guy's half mooting. We don't know if he's going to make it till tomorrow, but you better wake up to acknowledge me. So who's giving who? By opening the eye, this person on his last leg is giving to the visitor. And if he smiles, it's like $1 million. Person walks out. I walked in. Hazir, he looked lousy, but he smiled. He was so happy to see me. Right? You know what I'm talking about. That's taking, not giving. You have to, you see, Abraham didn't want a reputation of being a good host. He wanted the guest to be comfortable. So now we learned a couple of things about Abraham's chesed. Number one, that it comes from a koach of nitina, of giving. Number two, he was motivated by a desire to be like Hashem. I want to be domeh, I want to be similar to my Creator. And if I'm going to do that, I need nothing. I only have to give. That's what I need, so to speak, kavyachol. And if I'm going to give and give, I'm going to learn to love. Because the more I give to people who don't even need it even. Some people need it. I'm not saying, not, now, everybody, okay, Raymond said, don't give to people who need it. Only give to people who don't need it. No, that's not what I said. But I said, a true chesed could even be with a person, you know, tzedakah, you give to a poor person. Chesed, you could do with a rich person or a poor person. Chafetz Chaim says that. He says, chesed is greater than tzedakah because tzedakah I need a poor person to give to. But a chesed, I could take the richest person on earth, I could do a chesed for them. He doesn't need me to open the door, I could open the door for him. It's a chesed. But he could be a multimillionaire. I open the door, you don't have to be poor for me to open the door for you. Or help you carry something. Doesn't go by your financial status. So a chesed is greater than a tzedakah because chesed could be done with the rich. You know, Abraham Avinu gave them is a very big question. How did he serve them meat and dairy together? You learned that in school? You didn't learn that in school. He served butter and he served calves. He served halab milk. It's all in the pasuk. It's not a midrash. It tells you that his menu is right there. He told the Mahari, Lushi, Shalashim Kemach Solet, Lushi Asiru God, Ela Bakar, Bakar is cattle, Ratz Avraham. And then it says, Halav, he gave them Halav. The Chem'ah, Ufat Lechem, bread and butter. It's all there, the whole menu is in the parasha. So now is he serving meat, is he serving dairy? And of course all the books ask, how can he serve meat and dairy together? Some books answer because he served the dairy first, they rinsed out their mouth, and they had the meat, then you get into the question, how long do you have to wait? No, I'm not going to answer that. Somebody asked me, how long do you have to wait? You don't have to wait. You just have to make sure your mouth is good. Well, I don't get into that. I'll get into halachic problems and people start writing me letters. I have enough email. So now, here you have a case. He's serving both. Why? To trap them eating meat and dairy together? Chas v'shalom. No way. He let them decide what they preferred. Do you want a light, quick meal of dairy? Or you want to sit and chush your brains out on a half a cow? Filet mignon, steak, and whatever. He was a giver. He was accommodating his guests. Rather than using them to raise his ego of what a good host he was. I find that people misunderstand giving. People have a lot of other motives in giving. There's people who give, and it looks like they're not getting. But boy, are they happy when there's a drive in the shul and he says 5,000, everybody turns around to see who's giving it. He's giving more money than most people in the room. But if nobody turns around, maybe he won't give up. He needs that kick. In fact, I think it's one of the negatives, you know, now that there's so many appeals and so many drives weekly in the shuls, especially in the summer, they have a new rule, we don't call out names. Well, since they stopped calling out names, the take dropped. Because people, some people, not all people, but there's enough people in the crowd that if they don't hear their name, they don't want to give. If they don't know I gave 10,000, I'll give them 200. If they're going to go, ooh, wow, I'll give 10,000. It's worth it. Because really the 210,000 is the same thing. But the ego kick is not the same. So is he giving or taking when he gives that tzedakah? He's taking. He's taking the kavod. He's taking the feeling that the kavod gives him. He's taking for himself. He's not giving. When a person has ga'ava, conceit, haughtiness, they have a problem giving. Because the sentence starts with what word? I. I comes first. In fact, that's one of the drashot I came up with. I don't know, I never saw it written because they don't usually speak English when they write these drashot. But it says in the Gemara that when somebody's a baal ga'ava, it's ki'ilu oved avodah zarah, or kola ko'es, ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. Anybody who's angry, loses their temper, it's as if they're serving idols. Kola ko'es, anybody who loses their temper, or baal ga'ava drives the Shekhinah out of the room. Hashem's presence is driven out of the room. Now, there's a lot of things you could do. You could steal, you could rob, you could kill. It doesn't say that. Only when it comes to anger and ga'ava does it say you're driving the Shekhinah. Now, there's certain immoral acts that also drive away the Shekhinah. I don't want to say only. But these are two examples. Why is it? Because to be subservient to God and bring Him close means to be mevatel yourself. To nullify yourself. You got to kill that ego. You got to say, you know, I have a talent. I'm a good cook. People love my cooking. But you know something? Hashem made me a good cook. And I'm sure glad He gave it to me because I'm a lousy singer and nobody would like me. He gave me the talent. So I'm going to feed people and use the talent Hashem gave me for good cause. Person has a good voice. Could sing rap music and curse his brains out. Or he could become a chazan. I didn't know that till a car stopped at a red light. I knew the music sounded lousy. But one of these guys had one of those booming back seat. I think the whole back seat is a speaker, you know. Boom, boom, boom. The street shakes and the light shakes when he stands by the light. And the guy had it on and the windows were open. It was a nice day. In fact, it was this afternoon sometime on Coney Island Avenue. I mean, I was on the other side of the street and I heard every word. I don't know what I did to deserve to hear every word of whatever that thing was. But he was killing, blaming, blah, 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 and doing everything else to all these people that he really didn't at all because and I'll tell you, it was horrible. Now, a person with a good voice could do that. Or a person with a good voice could read Tehillim, could become a chazan on the high holidays. Depends how he feels. Now, if he's into himself, he doesn't want to subjugate himself to God. So I want to be a star. I want to be famous. I want to take it for me. So I comes first. If I lose my temper, what do I usually say, Norman, if I lose my temper? I don't believe you're talking to me like that. That's the first I. Do you know who you're talking to? I can't put up with something like this. I. Do you know who I am? Idol worship. You're worshiping the I. Kola koes. Anybody lose their temper? It's idol worship. And Hashem can't live in the room with somebody like that, so he leaves. Instead of acknowledging me, you're driving me away, which we don't want to do. You know, when a rabbi comes to town, big rabbis, and Baruch Hashem in our community, we get them. People fight to host them. What's the motivation? To show kavod to that particular rabbi? Or for everybody to say, wow, rabbi, wah, 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 is staying by you, do, do, do. Boy, I wish I was you, do, do, do. Which motivation is it, to show kavod to the rabbi or to steal some kavod for myself? Which is it? That's what you say. I don't know. That's your motivation. Thanks for admitting it. No, usually, she's right. Usually, it's probably a combination. And that's the point I want to get to tonight. It's probably a combination. We all have feelings of rahmanut, of mercy. When we do something for rahmanut, I'm not saying it's bad, but I don't want you to classify it as chesed if you're really relieving yourself, because it's not the ideal chesed. If you're really relieving yourself of your discomfort of seeing pain and suffering, then it's not really a chesed. It's a kindness, it's still a kindness, but it's not a chesed. Because the chesed has to be pure giving. It has to be giving for the sake of the receiver. And there was a rabbi called Rav Chaim Volozhin, and he wrote a famous sefer called Nefesh HaChaim. And in Nefesh HaChaim, he wrote a beautiful work on how the world works, and angels, and people, Mikdash, stuff that nobody really understood until the sefer came out. His son wrote an introduction. And his son, in the introduction about his father, writes, he always used to remind me, and he always used to tell me, and he always used to talk to me, and say, a person was not created for any reason except to do kindness to somebody else. That's it. And he said he lived his life with all his greatness in Torah, with all that he had to do for the community in the yeshiva in Volozhin, with all he had to do, lo nivra, ela lehetiv lezulato. He lived saying, I'm only created to take care of others. That's the ideal of our Av, of Avraham. Now, as we go through the parashiyot, we find that we have different patriarchs and different matriarchs, and they represent for us different ideals. When you get to Yitzhak, you don't see as much chesed. You see more givurah, inner strength. And when you get to Yaakov, all the tests have to do with the truth. He deals with his crooked father-in-law. He has to go in and steal the blessings by tricking his father. All his tests have to do with truth. The midav emet. And each one of these midot is important to us. Why? Because in his book on Pirkei Avot, Rav Chaim Volozhin says about Avraham Avinu, he's mentioned twice in the same perek. It says, Asara dorot minoach ad Avraham. There were 10 generations from Noach to Avraham. And Abraham came and he natal sechar kulam. He took the reward for all of them because they were all bad, so he took all the reward. One or two mishnayot later, depending how you break them up, it says, asara nisyanot. There were 10 tests Nitnasa Abraham Avinu ve'amad lekulam. Abraham, our patriarch, withstood and stood up to and passed. So if Chaim Volozhin asked the question, maybe a 3-year-old would ask, Daddy, why in the first Mishnah is he called Abraham? And in the second Mishnah is called Abraham Avinu? Either call him Abraham Avinu, Abraham our father, in both Mishnayot, or call him Abraham in both. Because usually Mishnayot and Baratanim would be balanced. And the answer is, when we're talking about history, how many generations there were from Noach to Abraham, he's Abraham. When we're talking about character traits that we as Jews now have, that comes from our father, Abraham Avinu. And each one of his tests and his trials was a test of his chesed. And the famous scientist, whose name I forget, who cut off rat's tails for 10 generations to see if acquired traits are hereditary, to see if someone lost an arm is the child of that person born with an arm, Baruch Hashem, they are. He found out that acquired traits, if somebody lost their vision during life and then they had a baby, the baby could still see. Thank God. Acquired traits, whatever happens to the body during life, is usually not passed on to the child in the DNA and all the other things that make up the genes. And the experiment that the scientist tried was, he took rats, male and female rats, he cut off their tails, and he mated them. And the babies were born with tails. And he did it for 10 generations. And 10 times, the rats were born with tails. And he came out with a fantastic scientific principle. Acquired traits are not hereditary. We study the Avot and their perfection, and we find out something very different. When it comes to the spiritual, acquired traits are hereditary. And when we study Avraham Avinu and his chesed, and the ideal of his chesed, it was so perfect that, forgetting the rachmanut each one of you has, the koach of chesed each one of us has, comes from him. He developed it, and he passed it on to us. So when you do a chesed, you have to try and do it the way he did. And you have the power to do it the way he did. How do you have that power? You have the power to do that because he did it, and he ingrained it in our spiritual genes. I get spoiled by environment. It gets spoiled because we're not as perfect as him. We haven't worked on it yet. We weren't born naturally with it. But it's there. That spark of nitina, to give and get nothing in return. To give not because I feel bad, because I want to be like God. And he gives, even though he gets nothing in return. That's what I want. That's a true chesed. That's Avraham Avinu. That's how we should try to be. And that's the lesson that starts with this little story of the 3 Arabs walking through the desert. You hear that song, we can all develop it and grow into it. Any questions? No. Yes?
So, obviously, when you go visit somebody in a hospital and you leave, and the sense of self-happiness inside, that's selfish.
Not true.
In other words,
you said obvious, I say no, I don't agree. Depends on how you develop yourself. If you develop yourself to the point where you're able to give, and you're happy in giving, that's okay. No, no, no. You see, you're starting with, I'm going to visit to feel good.
No, no, no. I'm going to visit to visit.
No. You got, if it's doing a mitzvah, you're allowed to be happy. Simchat mitzvah is legit. But we're starting with the motivation. I hope everybody understands me. The motivation to give should be pure. And if it happens to feel good after, fine. Next.
No,
You have no questions. You can leave. No questions. Good, because I'm tired. Good night, everybody. See you next week.